Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries, is also with us from cold Kansas. Hey, Ray, tell our listeners about Keep Believing Ministries and what people, what the website is and what people can find there.
Easy to find us, Ed. We're at keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. If you mess up and put .org, doesn't matter. We own both those domains. It'll come straight to us. We've got an online repository of Bible teaching material, sermons, FAQs, videos, audio podcasts, everything to help. Everything we have is free on our website, and it's here to help people believe in Jesus and then find the strength and courage to believe in him. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and say hello. We would love to hear from you.
And now, Ray, when is Lent? Because you always have great stuff up. You usually have something for folks to go through at Lent. I don't even know when does Lent start this year.
It starts in early March. It's late this year because Easter is later than usual this year. It's not quite as late as it could be, but Easter is late in April this year, so Lent starts in early March. Got a few weeks yet, but it's coming fast.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ray. Also in studio with us now is, as typical, Steve Jordahl. Not that he's typical Steve Jordahl.
I am the typical Steve Jordahl. I'm uniquely typical.
uniquely typical.
Figure that one
out.
Wow,
that's about as big a bunch of nothing as I've ever heard. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm uniquely typical.
There you go.
All right, so Steve Jordahl is our reporter and news anchor for American Family News, and always, not always, if he's sick or out of pocket, he's not here, but usually from 11:05.
Do my best to make it when I can. Yes.
All right. Well, what's first up?
Well, I want to highlight I got some old friends that I came to this ministry from 10 years at Focus on the Family, and they're just brilliant people over there, doing great work, and they've come up with a great idea. Jim Daly, who's the president there now, has decided that in the wake of New York passing its draconian abortion law that allows abortion up to the moment the woman is giving birth, that they can decide that to abort this child. So Focus is going to go to Times Square, and they have a woman who's pregnant, and they are going to show a live sonogram, live ultrasound on the big screens in Times Square. Just show the image of a third trimester child in utero. It's the same thing you'd see if you went to a pro-life pregnancy center and had an ultrasound. You'd see the baby's head, and you can make out its fingers and all this kind of stuff. And they're going to put that up and just challenge New York to reconcile that image with what they say they can do to a child.
Now that is brilliant. Is this, and you may not know the answer to this question, is this image and the movement and all that, is it somehow going to be tied to the bill, or is it just going to be a standalone image? And
no, the bill is passed. It's law.
No. What I mean is, how are people going to know in Times Square why they're looking at that image?
Well,
is Focus on the Family going to say, is this really what we want to kill, that kind of thing?
Or there's a rally that they're going to do. They will have music and speakers and all this kind of stuff. But and people do this often at Times Square. Mm-hmm. You get a permit, and their permit is for May the 4th of this year, and they're going to they have a machine set up. They'll have the mother sitting right there, and they'll just display on the big
screen. This will be live?
It's live, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well,
I thought it was like a recording or something.
No, they have the mother right there. It's live.
So can any woman do it? Just one particular woman?
They will have a woman or a couple women that will have volunteered.
Oh, okay.
It's in May, so they need to coordinate it so that they're in their third trimester in May.
Yes.
What would be an interesting movement is similar to this, is to have, just have, like, you know how everybody can, like, post their own testimony of different life situations is for, you know, making sure you have to check into the HIPAA laws and all that, but for moms and dads to post their ultrasound video to like social media, have 1 week where everybody gets to post their kid's ultrasound image or video on
that
social media. That would be neat. Maybe like during January, pro-life month.
Yeah.
HIPAA is the law that protects the patient from his or her medical records being made public, but they're your medical records, so
right.
you can release them.
Right.
And if the hospital can't, or the court, or anybody can't just take them and show them.
But I could leak my own records, right?
Yeah, they're your records. You do with what you want. Pretty brilliant, isn't it, Ray?
So Steve, when are they going to do this?
May
4th. Times Square.
Okay, that's the Star Wars Day. It occurs to me. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, man. You've been hanging around J.J.
Yeah,
Jasper.
I know. It has nothing to do with that chosen date. It is going to be 2 days after the National Day of Prayer. May 2nd this year is the National Day of Prayer.
And it'll be close. I'm not sure what day Mother's Day is, but that's usually the second Sunday. So I think it's the second Sunday. So that'll be close to Mother's Day as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Just, you know, you just can't. The truth will out. You can't hide facts for that long. You know, it's just a blob of tissue. Well, there's the head. There's the hands. There's the
It's a blob of tissue
thumb.
That looks, coincidentally, looks exactly
like
a baby.
Baby.
All right, good story. I'm glad to hear about that. I hope it impacts the hearts of the people in New York, because that was a horrific and demonic day in New York's history to hear see and hear those legislators cheering for the repeal of protections for unborn children. So God help New York. All right, what do you got next?
The freshman class of Congress people, I'm thinking specifically there's a couple, we've talked often of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Who?
AOC, those of us that are hip.
I'm surprised she's not on a box of Wheaties. She's everywhere.
She is, and it's not just her. She's brought along with her some fellow travelers, I guess we could call them. One of them is the freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, whose name is Ilhan Omar. And she's Muslim. She wears her headscarf everywhere she goes, and so they changed the rules of the House to allow headgear to be worn, because one of the rules of the House was you couldn't wear headgear. And
can congressmen wear MAGA hats?
I guess they can now. I don't know.
I'd be the first one to don my
MAGA
hat.
That would be interesting to try. I don't begrudge them doing that. I mean, certainly a Jewish congressperson should be able to wear a yarmulke if they want to. And
were they allowed to before?
No, I don't guess not.
Not before.
Oh, so, okay, I see how it is. All right, go ahead. Okay.
Well, they've been speaking up, let's say, in Congress. I wanted to play a little bit from you of Ms. Omar. She was in a committee hearing, and they were grilling the special envoy to Venezuela. His name is Elliot Abrams, and he was at one point in the Iran-Contra hearing in the 80s in the Reagan administration, he admitted to misdemeanors of lying to Congress and everything. And that's where this little put-down from Ms. Omar comes. I want to hear how she addresses Mr. Abrams in committee. This is Cut 5.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you for your testimonies. Mr. Adams, in 1991, you pleaded guilty to 2 counts of withholding information from Congress regarding your involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, for which you were later pardoned by President George H.W. Bush. I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful.
If I can respond to that.
It wasn't a question.
I was
on February, that was not a question. That was the I I reserve the right to my time.
It is not right.
That was not a question.
Members of this committee can attack
on February 8th,
who is not permitted to reply.
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation.
It's just like, you're a liar. We're not going to believe anything you say, and you can't talk back to me because I have the floor. It's just a little bullying.
She's technically correct, but it's still rude. I don't know what to say. Ray, this is more and more from people on the left, like Steve said. It's bullying. She's trying to run over him. She's smearing him and won't allow him to address the attacks that she has made. She's technically correct, but it certainly doesn't help discourse in this country and help any dream of unity in this country. What do you think?
Well, it's no surprise, isn't it, that this was a show trial to put him
perfect,
to put him on and discredit him before he had a chance to say a word. Bully is a good word. That's what a bully does. Mm. Bring somebody up, discredit them so they can't, and then not give them a chance to defend themselves. Right. It stinks.
But when James Comey wouldn't answer questions months ago, and others wouldn't answer questions, simple questions that didn't have to involve national security, et cetera, I was frustrated that Republicans didn't subpoena them and force them to answer the questions. But here's the thing. If Republicans aren't going to get some backbone when they're in charge and force people who are testifying to answer questions, that's what they're there for, to answer questions. So if we're not going to tighten down the rules and make people answer questions on both sides of the aisle, then I think Trump's nominees and Trump's representatives who are going before Congress, I just wouldn't answer any questions. I just wouldn't answer any questions. And I know people are going to disagree with that, but I would say, I'm not answering questions. I'm sorry. So you can keep asking. You can attack my character. I'm just here because I have to be, and I'm not answering questions. You can.
It actually came to that between Omar and Abrams and another discourse they had. She was asking him about some alleged massacre that had happened in a Central American country under the government that the U.S. had supported. Not that the U.S. participated in the massacre. That was never alleged.
Or supported the massacre. They were supporting the government.
They were supporting the
government.
They
committed the atrocity.
Right. And so Omar then leans into Abrams with this encounter. Cut six.
Yes or no, do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question. And
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack.
I think he was perfectly in his right. In fact, after that initial comment to Walker's point, I would have just said, I'm not answering anything. I've got nothing to say to you. I'm not answering any of your questions. Mm-hmm. You've got your time. Use it however you want. Yep. But don't pretend like you're engaging me in a real conversation. And if it's not a real conversation, we're not going to have one. Ray, mm-hmm. I mean, I can be petty at times, okay? I will admit it, but that's what I would have said to her.
Well, why not say that? Why not just say, I'm not going to answer under these conditions? You don't really want to hear what I have to say anyway.
Right.
So go ahead and make your speech, and I'll just sit here and listen to you.
Yeah. All right. This is the congresswoman who is already – did she ever apologize for her anti-Semitic comments earlier in the week?
It was one of the non-apology apologies. Okay. I'm sorry you felt bad about it.
She was accusing the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, I think, AIPAC, accusing them of bribing members of Congress to get their way.
Right.
She's Muslim. I have very little doubt that she hates the Jews, like Muslim radicals do. And I personally believe that's why she's treating Elliot Abrams, whom I'm assuming is Jewish, treating him so shabbily, because this is more anti-Semitic nonsense from this Muslim who was how she got elected.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
this is the same congresswoman, and correct me if I'm wrong, Walker, you might know, but she's the one that had the map up in her room where she put a sticky note over the country Israel and wrote Palestine.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's her or
who's the one from Michigan.
You want to make the Democrats angry, then you don't answer their questions. because they want to get in a jab back and forth with you so it's sound bites on, so that CNN can run the sound bites later. But I tell you, if Trump's appointments, Trump's nominees, Trump's representatives, if they go in there and don't answer questions or be very short with their answers, that will drive the Democrats crazy.
Because it is, to Ray's point, it is a big show trial.
Yes.
And the show trial is all about the show.
Exactly.
It's all about the presentation of one side with the appearance that this is a fair, kind of endeavor.
And it's the same thing under Republicans. Republican hearings, they had no teeth to them because Republicans would not make people answer questions.
Right.
James Comey could come in there and just, waste time and not answer questions, and then there's no consequences to that. So whether it's Democrats or Republicans, it's all a big show, which is why nobody really takes these serious anymore.
Yeah, the person that redrew the map to take Israel off it was the third person in the troika with AOC and Ms. Omar. It was Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib.
Mm-hmm. From Michigan.
From Michigan that did that.
Okay.
But to show that what's good for the goose is good for the gander, or maybe what's good for the donkey is good for the elephant, I want you to listen to a little bit of an exchange that Liz Cheney, the congresswoman from Wyoming, had with some Green New Deal advocates that were in her
natural resources. Now, explain that real quickly for
resources.
Those who aren't aware of the Green New Deal. Just briefly.
So AOC has introduced legislation that is part of this Green New Deal, and what it is, proposals that the Democrats want to put that is going to revamp all of American society, to put it progressive. Among the things, they want to do all away with fossil fuels within 10 years and be all on renewable energy. And they've been high on phrases, but short on details. So in this exchange, Congresswoman Liz Cheney asks the panel to give her some details about
because
this.
Now they also want to do away with air travel.
Well, they want to do away with air travel in 10 years as part of this no fossil fuels. So she wanted some details about this. Cut 7.
Ms. Farley, could you tell me exactly how the government should prioritize air travel and the gradual move away from all air travel?
I would depend on the FAA and other federal agencies that focus on air travel.
Thank you very much, Ms. Farley. So I guess we're going to set up a situation where the FAA then can tell individual citizens which of their air travel is worthy and important and which isn't. The FAA could say, for example, you know what, vacation travel, that's not essential. We got to make sure that we can do the air travel for the people that really need it, so no vacation travel. Would you say we're going to have some sort of a vacation commissar set up in the government to determine what kind of air travel makes sense and what kind doesn't? Ms. Schrader, maybe I'll go to you on that question.
With all due respect, I came here to talk about my community.
Ms. Schrader, thank you. You don't support the Green New Deal.
I'm not an expert on the Green New Deal.
Are there any other witnesses on the panel who do support the Green New Deal? Nobody supports the Green New Deal on this panel. Interesting.
I support many of the policies and recommendations in the Green New Deal.
I see.
Specifically, the support to make sure that any climate solution strategy is centered in equity.
Thank you very much, Ms. Farley. I appreciate that. Reclaiming my time, when we outlaw plane travel, we outlaw gasoline, we outlaw cars, I think actually probably the entire U.S. military because of the Green New Deal. And I would assume, I guess that means our colleagues from California are going to be riding their bicycles back home to their constituents.
Because she did. I watched this exchange. She did ask each member of the panel how they got to D.C.
To D.C.
And most of them, I think they had, flown. Some had driven, but flown and then took in the metro or something like that. So, this is just kind of make-believe. That's what this all appears to me. It's like bad science fiction where they say, hey, I know what we can do. Let's just get rid of all air travel. Let's pretend like we can do this. It does work in the movies, but it doesn't work in real life.
Let's get rid of the airplanes, and let's get rid of the cows while we're at it, too. They're putting out too much methane
like
into
beef,
the
though.
Atmosphere.
We have to be careful about the cows. Tim didn't like us talking about that yesterday, so we want to honor. We can't talk about the reason why they want to get rid of the cows. It has to do with certain emissions. But they did.
It all goes together.
It's true.
Ed,
that's
right?
What they want to do.
Yeah.
It all goes together.
I'd like to play one more clip from hearing in the Hill. This is Representative Gwen Moore. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin. And she was talking about the administration's accomplishments. She was trying to appear unimpressed as she read what we keep hearing about the Trump administration's successes. And so this is how she listed them off.
GDP is great. Unemployment is at an all-time low. African Americans are doing well. Hispanics are doing well. Wages are rising at the fastest pace in 10 years. Blah, blah, blah.
Now that's that's going to come back to bite her.
Yes.
I that's got to, because anytime now what I hate to even ask this question, but is she white? Is she black? What?
She's African American.
She's African American. So she is saying, admitting what is true, that unemployment is the lowest in the black community, and it's just, I think it's decades. I think since the 70s, wages have gone up. And her response to her own community doing well economically is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me how that translates into when she wants to get reelected. Hey, I care for you in the black community.
Mm.
How's that going to work?
Well, here's what she said. She tried to push back against the criticism that she got for the blah, blah, blah. She said any benefit from the GOP tax scam, which is what she's calling it, is put on the national credit card. The middle class knows they're not going to be the ones that are forced to pay it back. Meanwhile, she says, Democrats grew the economy, shrunk the deficit, and gave everyone health care. Thanks, Obama. So she's going back to the...
Well, if I'm President Trump's 2022 campaign manager, then I'm putting that clip in an ad, and I'm also combining the clip of the Democrats sitting during the State of the Union when President Trump talked about record low unemployment for African Americans and Latinos, that Democrats remained
and not clapping.
Sitting and not clapping during that. I'm combining those two, and it will make a great ad.
There you go.
All right, Ray. If you ever say to your wife something about all she's done, yeah, I know you did this and you did that, blah, 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 blah. How does that go over?
You know, every husband may try that once.
Maybe.
Not
maybe. Maybe. You will never try that twice. It's a lesson you learn fairly early.
That's right.
That's your free Valentine's Day gift right there.
Even Walker knows not to do that.
Absolutely.
He hadn't been married
several
years.
Don't try this at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't try this at home.
Oh,
all right, Steve.
We're
close to the end here. You got anything?
You a baseball fan?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember Jose Canseco, one of the Bash Brothers?
Sure. Oakland A's?
Well, he got kind of drummed out of Major League Baseball. He was kind of embarrassed by the steroid scandal and everything. And since on, he's been kind of trying to figure out how he's going to make money. Well, this is how he's making money now. Former MVP posted two tweets on Tuesday offering to take a few lucky people on an expedition tracking the mythical beast Bigfoot. For $5,000, you can go with Jose Canseco, and he'll show you Bigfoot and real aliens.
for how much money?
$5,000.
$5,000.
Limited availability.
I hope he's bringing his bat.
Yeah, well, he's friends with Bigfoot, I think.
Yeah. $5,000.
Only five lucky individuals will get a golden ticket.
Well, I guess that works if you're a celebrity. People who are Jose Canseco.
Sure.
Fan. Now, it's not going to work for me. I mean, no one's going to want to pay $5,000 for me to go show them nothing.
Tell stories and maybe meet the real Bigfoot. You never know what's going to happen.
I'm
Mr. Canseco.
All right. All right, Ray. Thanks, brother, for being on with us.
Thank you, Ed.
And for the panel here, just want to thank you for tuning in. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio.